Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Council of Elrond. I'm Dave and with me is my brother Johnny.
Hello.
And today we are joined by the legendary Fellowship of the Fans. If you haven't heard of him or his channel, he's basically the Fabrizio Romano of the Lord of the Rings TV show on Amazon. Or for anyone who doesn't understand that reference, Fellowship of the Fans is the go-to guy for Amazon Lord of the Rings news, leaks and rumours. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about all the latest in news and confirmed storylines and characters in the upcoming Lord of the Rings TV show. So Fellowship, welcome. It's great to have you on the show at long last.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it, and also really appreciate the grand introduction as well.
Of course.
Yeah, and especially the Fabrizio Romano bit. it'll be interesting to see how many of the viewers actually get that part.
We'll see. We'll ask people on Twitter.
I think I heard you mention him before and I was like, I get that reference. I get it.
I think it was with the Lloyd Owen tweet as a Elendil. I think something around that.
Yes. It was something around that.
Brilliant. Well, that's how we think of you, Fellowship. We put you on the same pedestal as Fabrizio Romano. So, but obviously, we want you to introduce yourself a little bit, or at least tell yourself, at least tell all of our listeners what your channel is all about. And without giving away your secrets, how did you get involved with what you do?
Yeah, sure. So, I run the channel, YouTube channel. It's expanded to Instagram, Twitter, Reddit, Discord as well, but it's Fellowship of Fans. I regard myself as Fellowship because I don't have my public name out there or anything. But so yeah, it's just a channel I created around in it was over a year and a half now. So it's like March, April 2020, and it was really just meant to be a Lord of the Rings based YouTube channel. And since then it has expanded into going into the Lord of the Rings on Prime show to the point where we have started doing leaks now. And I'm sure the next bit will be how we got into that specifically. But so yeah, and I think as of right now, what Fellowship of Fans is, it is really just more, not just me now, just a group of people running it and trying to have this day-to-day engagement with the Tolkien fandom, which I hope can be sustained for quite a while. But I think, of course, as you guys said, without giving too much away, so it's really an interesting thing because the first thing that we released really was Augustus Prue, his involvement, and that was purely just someone sending this things like, oh, Augustus Prue has been on quite a few of the other people's social media, and it's then I was like, oh, that is interesting, maybe I should just run with this. And then behold, 3 months later in December he gets released. And then also I think, but the real thing, more people recognize us, I think it's the best way to say it, was those set pictures we've got. It was a really funny story. I'm not sure how much I'm allowed to go, and it was literally, you've got this $1 billion show recording in New Zealand. They've got the biggest, they have to have the best security set. And there's just this, I think just some random person just walking on a bridge and just took a few pictures and sent it in. It was just oh my God. It was literally that easy. And it was quite incredible. And then directly how I got into it, it was merely, I would say, luck. And well, not luck, but it's, if you are going and contacting people to disclose information about the show, that is a cease and desist. I'm not sure that's a word, but that is an offense. So we have never done that. So like, even though it's because the success of Fellowship of Fans is to what we've been releasing, is more, in fact, to the people on the show who've been willing to give that information. Yeah. And I think being able to firstly find someone like that, and then once you release a director or two, people start to realize, okay, we can give information to this person and they can release stuff like the directors. They said, we know that this person, we can trust them with some really secure information because they are able to release it. And of course, if we were getting people fired from their jobs, it would have been spoken about on the set and everything. So I think that's the main thing, I talk a lot about all the reputation you want to make from everyone, just for the viewers of Tolkien fan, but also for the people on set as well, knowing that, oh, I've got a picture of this, or I've seen this. And I think, where's the best place to go? And I think if a week before that Fellowship of Fans is releasing some of the massive story leaks, is like, okay, that would be the best place to go. So I think it's really down to the people behind the show who are willing to do that.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
I was going to ask you just very quickly as well, because I heard, I don't know how long ago, that somebody said something about Amazon putting all of this money into setting up sort of like fake production sets and entire crews and teams to shoot, you know, like, I don't know, I don't know if this production team knew that they were not the real deal, but basically so that they could have maybe fake leaks as well and things like that as well, in case somebody took aerial shots and that, like, you know, just kind of throw the general public off. I was just going to ask you that you said somebody kind of just walked very easily onto this sort of set, onto some bridge, and took a photograph. Is it possible that it could have been that kind of a situation, or what's your understanding of that possible fake set situation?
So we have known for quite a while that they did, of course, it's like, for example, Game of Thrones season 8, they did the same thing with just shooting fake stuff, but still 3 months before, I'd give a spoiler alert now for season 8 Game of Thrones. Okay, there you go. That it came out 4 months earlier on a random website, so that Bran would be king. The thing around that is that even back then, I say we only release about 20 to 30% of what we hear, because it has to be truly, truly like 100% to the point where we can release it. And I had people ask me back in April when those other leaks did come out about fake sets, like, how do you know what you're releasing is false? Like, we the research and to double, triple, quadruple check. For example, Isildur, we heard the first bit in April. And when was it released? It was like 2.5 weeks ago, and that's in October. And that's around 5 to 6 months worth of just trying to make sure, triple check, until then we go, okay, we've got something comes so obvious that it is, basically it has to be true.
So you've known this whole time?
Yeah, since, well,
how did you keep that secret?
I know, that's
all,
the really,
all of this time is under my very nose.
Yeah, that is normally something really hard. I think I did post once, it was a picture of Lloyd Owen and Maxim Baldy, for our viewers, listeners who don't know, they are playing Sildur and Lendil, and I did actually post back in about May, June or July, like father, like son, and luckily no one caught up on it. But I'm sure if you go back to my Twitter log, then you could find that somewhere. But I think back to the main question around the fake sets, but like we have, but luckily from the sources we get from the, I don't want us to, this is where it starts, it's the gray line, but we, it's to a point now where we can know what they're filming is fake sets. For example, I had someone telling me that they knew they were working on a fake set for 19 hours, but it was so ridiculous that they had to work that long. So yeah, so I think in hindsight, we do know what is fake and what is real. And I'm going on about this a lot, but the final thing is, okay, someone might say, oh, Galadriel in Numenor, that is, that can be clear, that might not be real, because that could be on a fake set, they could be filming fake scenes. So like, that's fair enough, but Morfydd Clark, who is playing Galadriel, has been on that set for 3.5 months. Her being in Numenor and filming there for 3 months, that it's impossible, unless Amazon are just complete idiots, I think.
Yeah. And I don't, blowing their budget on just paying people to be where they don't need to be.
Yeah, I think if they were doing that, I wouldn't put past them, to be honest. But yeah, I don't think that would be the scenario, really.
I mean, maybe they're just codding us all and there's not actually going to be a Lord of the Rings TV show, because it's been this long and all we're getting is rumors and things, and all we know is there's fake sets and fake time being spent and all that. But you touched a little bit on Isildur there. That was one of the more recent news things that you broke. But just for people that haven't been following all the rumors, what do we know about the show so far? Like just an overview, basically.
Yes. So the funny thing about this is, as the more we know about it, the more we don't know about it. But from what we do know, we know that there is an Isildur in this show, despite for months and months, even years, people saying, it has to be the mid-second age, it has to be around, for example, characters like Celebrimbor, which funnily enough in 7 minutes will be the new leaks on the thing on our channel. So yeah.
So we're hearing it first. Nice.
Yeah, well, if you want to hear it now, it's that he is in the show and they have filmed the Forging of the Ring scene.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
And then yeah.
Awesome.
And also interesting, there's been a really big correlation between props and the character of Celebrimbor. But I think the likely scenario there is that he's either going to be in the flashback or the 2-episode prologue. But overall, and that's going to be on a tangent, but it seems to be that we are set in the late Second Age and that we do have characters like Isildur, Elendil, etc., even Tamriel and Pharazôn. But also, interestingly, the problem with that is, what are the elves doing during this time? There's nothing for them to do. So it's looking like Amazon are inventing something for, they want the main character to be Galadriel, so it seems like they are inventing a way for the elves to be involved in the show, and it looks like, and for example, Galadriel and having her in Numenor, so it's really seeming like a show which is based in the late Second Age while Amazon are inventing ways for the elves to be involved during this time period. But from what we do know as well, for the overview, there is a 2-episode pilot by J. Biona, and we hear rumbling, but nothing I've ever heard that is concrete, but just rumors. I know others have heard as well, potentially this just being maybe a quite two longer episodes over an hour long, and then it covering a wide span of time, maybe in the first stage. Because for example, that image released of Tyrion and by Amazon, that was said by in the Deadline article to be in episode 1. And then of course, if we Fellowship fans have heard further rumblings that we're going to possibly, most likely be seeing Galadriel cross the Helcruxes and stuff like that. And we've also seen Imilchide Villiers, who is like 13 years old, is going to be playing a young Galadriel. So it looks like episode 1 is seeming like it's going to be quite Galadriel focused, but also in the first stage. So it could be possible, this is just pure speculation, but it could be looking like maybe the first 2 episodes we might get a recap of the earlier, of the late first age and the early second age, and then we get 5 seasons worth of the Akalabeth and the Last Alliance. So that is what it is looking like right now. And of course, with Sauron in season 1, he is in season 1, but it's whether he will be revealed as, and when people heard that about few months ago, they'll be thinking, maybe is it as Annatar, maybe he's an Annatar bombing that we revealed as Sauron, but it's starting to look like it's going to be a few characters and no one, and it looks like we might know who Sauron is, but he's going to be this hooded figure.
I have heard that on some of the recent Fellowship of Fans videos, but I have kind of been thinking a lot about it because that's like the only thing that Amazon have actually released to us is the statement. Do you remember months and months back? And they said the villain will be Sauron. Like they've already told us this officially. So I kind of keep going back to that quote or back to that statement. And I'm kind of going, yeah, surely we're going to all know who Sauron is, or else that was just completely useless information.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Yeah. And I think it would be impossible for Amazon to have a show without Sauron that alone sounds ridiculous. So just having your main villain not be in season 1 in any sense.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
I see you. There is no life in the void.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Also, you kind of basically touched on the format there, but can you give us a little bit more description just for our listeners who maybe are not sure of. Because as you were saying there, the first 2 episodes are going to be sort of long, almost prologues. And then the following 6 episodes are going to be possibly shorter. And they, like, so the first 2 might not have anything to do with the actual rest of the season. So is that the way it's going to work, or how do you understand it?
So from press releases and official information, season 1 is an 8-episode season, but with the first 2 episodes being pilot episodes and directed by J.A. Bion. I was thinking even the appointment of J.A. Bion at this, who has just done Jurassic Park and has also done, I think, a Monster Calls and all these big, just spectacle movies, and then you've got him to do the first 2 episodes of the Amazon show. It does make sense that probably those 2 episodes would be the more spectacle, more bigger one. So it's more anthological, but it's unconfirmed. We don't know right now whether the first two episodes are going to be two full prologues or whether or not. But I think it does seem, as of right now, that is the most likely scenario, where we have two episodes and then we jump a few thousand years to the time of Isildur and Elendil, and then the first two episodes give this backstory and context to what we will see later on. I think a good way to put that as well is, I thought a really good way, maybe Amazon, the reason they have done it is, for example, when we jump to the late Second Age, we have Farazon, and we have, and why is he hating the Valar? Why is this Banner the Valar hated so much by the Numenoreans in general? Why does he want to attack the Undying Lands, Tirion? But if we don't see Tirion and the Undying Lands, for the average viewer who doesn't know that much, they don't know what. It's just there's like, yeah, we're going to attack this land. But seeing again episode one, episode two, I think that's a good way to link it, if that was Amazon's purpose intention. I don't know their intentions, but I think that is an interesting link as well. So just to recap, it is 8 episodes, 2 episode prologue. It is looking like that at least episode one, it has to be a prologue or backstory of some sort, because it does confirmed have the picture of Tyrion in it. And then also from our rumblings, we are hearing stuff around Galadriel's backstory and crossing the Helcaraxe, which is not in the Second Age, which is just information after information. We can start to make educated guesses, but of course, educated guesses aren't confirmation, so we'll have to wait and see. But that's what it's looking like at the moment.
Right. Cool. Okay. Very, very good. And so, yeah, because I mean, I was just like pondering that myself and thinking about this. These two episodes, are they going to be almost like an extended prologue, like we get in the Fellowship of the Ring with Galadriel telling us about, like giving us a bit of context of what's going on? Or I was like, I hope they don't try and squash the first age into two episodes. Oh. And, like, because that would be obviously it would be impossible, first of all. And I don't know. I just thought, like, you know, that was kind of my fear. And again, So it's hopefully it won't be that. Hopefully it will just be kind of a, here's some context for the stories that we're going to be leading up to.
Yeah.
And
That's what and I think to alleviate those fears, I think it really has to be how much rights have Amazon gotten. I don't think they can tell the whole first age. Well, for example, what's the point? I know Tom Shippey mentioned it in his interview, but they have to, Amazon have bought stuff which has to help with their Second Age. For example, showing Finrod. No, that's another character that we leaked. That makes sense, showing Galadriel's brother, as that helps with her story in Second Age. It gives her context. He dies to the hands of Sauron, basically, when trying to protect Beren. But then I said as well, okay, you brought up Finrod and Sauron, but then do you also are allowed to include Beren as well? And that's where it starts to get their intricacies of how the rites work. So for example, like, I know some people say, okay, then does that mean we might get Feanor in episode? You have to think of it logistically. Is it going to make sense for Amazon to buy that many rights to have Feanor in it for about 10 minutes max? I just don't think so. So I don't think it would be a whole thousands worth of years into an hour and a half.
They're probably going to
leave themselves open to do a prequel or a sequel, a prequel series or a spin-off show or whatever you want to call it. So banking on the success.
Yeah, spin-off show has already been optioned in the original deal, so they already have that on the cards.
Okay. Wow. Cool. Very good to know.
Yeah.
Maybe there's the option to go ahead and buy the rights to first age material like years down the road when they've like used up all the other material.
Yeah.
So
I think that's what Amazon would want to do. I think it would be in the interest of the Tolkien estate as well for them to do that.
Yeah, maybe the Tolkien estate can basically make a more educated decision later on when they see how how well Amazon has dealt with the material. And as long as, you know, they've been true to the material and they've done it in a correct way, maybe they can say, yeah, we're happy now to give you the rights to this. And probably be best for all parties to do it that way.
Precisely.
But do you think then that other answers that we see, we have a lot of listeners on this show that maybe don't know that much about, you know, what happened before Lord of the Rings. Maybe they've only seen the movies a couple of times and things like that. So sort of like big questions that we have in the Lord of the Rings, do you think that they would get answered in this show? For example, like things like we just get thrown into the Lord of the Rings and we know that the elves and the dwarves don't get along. And it's like, we just kind of accept it. It's like, okay, that's fine. Do you think that the little like things like that will be shown, or we see like, you know, Sting glowing blue, and it's like, do you think we'll get like little images of why the elves decided to make put this blue glow into the swords or things like that?
I think an interesting way to talk, you mentioned the elves hating the dwarves and vice versa. I think we will see the same thing. One of the leaks is that the Numenoreans hating the elves. I think that's a nice parallel there. Maybe we'll be going into the show that this whole island kingdom, who are really powerful, hate elves. How does that affect their relationship when Galadriel comes, etc.? So I think that is an interesting link then, how they can do it. And other ones off the top of my head, I think it is really the state of Middle-earth in this period, because it depends really on where Amazon are starting. Are they going to start in a time where Sauron is, you know, fully, how do I say, just maybe coming back, but not in a sense where he's, you know, in his final form, but as we've heard, a hooded figure. So will the state of Middle-earth be maybe on the brink of this collapse coming, or this enemy coming, in fact? So yeah, I think those are the two main things that Amazon, and I'm sure I've missed out a lot of, you know, the small details, like for example you mentioned Sting,
yeah, of course,
and the glowing blue, but yeah. I've got on the top of my head, I can't think of those stuff, but I think thematically wise, I think those are the two most important things. I think she's really showing the hatred of the elves by the Numenoreans.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like, I mean, nice. You're going to want to keep some surprises for yourself as well. Or.
Oh, yeah.
I did want to ask you, however, if there's any evidence from your research that the show itself will be stylized in Peter Jackson's kind of his vision of Middle Earth. So when we watch The Lord of the Rings and we watch the Hobbit movies, we can see that it's all similar. They use some of the same actors, places look the same, like you go to Mirkwood and you go, like the elves look the same, the dwarves look the same. But do you think in this show Amazon will just take a complete kind of fresh look at everything, or do you think they're going to want to stay in that same sort of canon?
I think there is no chance that Amazon would not want to have the opportunity to link the show to the films, even especially aesthetically wise. And I think, of course, after the research you said, I think even from what we've seen, it does look like some of the stuff does look literally spot on, like you're seeing something out of a Peter Jackson shot. So I think some stuff like that. But I think anyways, if you want stuff publicly known, Will Poulter as Elrond, or Beldur, which is rumored to be Elrond. I think I'm not really usually the one who says, oh, he looks like that. For example, people say, oh, Morfydd Clark, who is playing Galadriel, looks like Cate Blanchett. I don't really see that. But when you have Will Poulter, I think it makes a lot, the resemblance to Hugo Weaving is quite frightening, in fact.
It's the forehead. It's
yeah,
the forehead.
Yeah, exactly. And the eyebrows, really.
Yeah.
Right.
Cast it into the fire! Destroy it!
No.
Isildur!
Like, seeing as we grew up with the movies and we've kind of attached so much of our ideas of what an orc looks like and what an elf looks like to Peter Jackson's ideologies, I'm trying to think now a part of me is very, like, you know, pleased to hear that news that, okay, well, maybe it's going to be going down the same route. But there was also a part of my brain that was a little bit curious to see what a completely fresh approach would look like as well. And just, I wanted to ask you just completely as a personal opinion, are you happy with that? Would you be happy if they go completely the same route as Peter Jackson's images, or would you have a sort of a curious side to your brain as well that would say, I'd like to see a different approach?
I would have honestly loved to see a different approach, because I think Middle-earth is not Peter Jackson. It maybe in the last maybe 20 odd years it has become that, but there's so so many more things. Like, for example, one thing I normally say is, for example, Khazad Dûm, when I come back to that in the movies, you've got this rigid stone structure, but then in the books, you've seen this completely different. You've got these, it's almost like this, it's hard to explain, but the interior of the halls, for example, they were made out of like trees holding it up. It was like, it's just that aesthetic differences between the books and the movies. But I think if you want it to be completely different, it's going to have to be something different. It's really hard to explain, but if something, because that set the tone, what Peter Jackson did for what fantasy would be like and look like 20 years later, and then radically changing, for example, elves having, you know, curved blades, etc., stuff like that. Of course, that's never mentioned. And for example, the pointy ears, you know, elves have. And of course, we can't get into the Balrog and rings debate, but
we don't have time for that.
No time for that. But I think would have been, here's what I was trying to say, it's too hard for Amazon to go their own way. But I think there are opportunities that it would have been nice to see something new, but it would have been too hard. It's a $1 billion show. You need it to be a success. And doing it to the movies, same aesthetically wise, I'm perfectly fine with that because it does make sense. If I was in the position and I had to make that decision, I think a lot of people, maybe you all, would make that same decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, thinking about it in a logical way, it's a $1 billion series. Of course, they want it to be successful and they know it can be successful. They know they have ready-made fans here that are going to tune in. And maybe it's just a bit of a risk if they decide we're going to go completely fresh and now our orcs are going to have this kind of appearance. So they know that maybe they could lose some of their potential viewers that way. So yeah, maybe it's a bit too risky to change it. So, and as you said, because Peter Jackson did such a good job in most of what he did, you know, they know that people like that aesthetic, and so it's probably the safe choice.
It's successful.
But I was going to move on, and again, speaking about something that is connected to Peter Jackson's trilogies, and because Dave and I are such huge music fans, and me personally, when I was a kid, I owned all the CDs for the original movie soundtracks, and that music from the original movies defined my youth, basically. So I wanted to ask you the question about Howard Shore, and I've heard his name mentioned a few times. And do you know anything? What's the latest on whether or not he could be involved in the show, or and even so, in what capacity?
Well, he has been signed on for months now. So Amazon were never going to do this without Howard Shore. He had,
brilliant.
I know Deadline said, Deadline did say something like, oh, he is, he's in talks, but he's been on for many months before that as well. And same for Bear McCreary as well, which I think got a lot of fans excited. Look, his work has been really incredible. Even though I don't really like the new Foundation series, I think it is a bit of a complete mess, but his score is quite incredible on that as well. But yeah, I could see example. Of course, I love Howard Shore and his music as well. It transported you to this different world.
Yeah.
And and I'm really, really hope that I'm sure it will be replicated in the show. And also maybe seeing a cross of existing themes from the book, from the movies, for example. Maybe we know that we have that there was the Gondor theme. Maybe you can mix it up and have it with maybe make it because that's even same. The Gondor theme seemed quite proud, but not depressing, but declining at the same time.
Yeah,
it's like you passed your glory, but maybe having that, but alternating it a bit, making it in its just grandeur of Numenor and Menelos. But at the same time, I think we can start to replicate what late Numenor is like. Maybe, for example, and I don't want to get into the intricacies of the late Gondors, or maybe they're in the same period. But I think the most exciting thing is you've seen what Shaw has done with the Shire theme. Imagine the Tyrion theme or something like that. I think is going to be just incredible.
I hope he's been working on these themes for months now. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
He's had a long time. He better have a banging Numenor theme ready to go. And like, truly. The way he just mixes and blends different themes into each other, I can't wait now.
Yeah, as you're saying as well, with the Gondor theme, you've got like those triumphant horns, but then also there's parts of it where it sounds like it's in decline. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. It's just, he can convey so much information in one small refrain. And that's fantastic music to my ears to hear about that.
That's it. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you as well about, I know we talked a little bit about the style of the show and whatnot, but do you think that it would be possible for Amazon to take liberties, and would they change Tolkien's canon and shock people? Like, I am coming from the perspective of watching Game of Thrones, and the book readers were going, hey, this doesn't happen in the book, but like, it could be a massive event that happens in the TV show. So do you think that people like yourself who know the lore of Tolkien inside out will have massive shock factors in the show? For example, I don't know, killing off a main character like Finrod or something like that.
I think the way to answer that is really depending on how much liberty you can really take. But I think the thing, the first bit was, will Amazon, they would have to, is maximum 30 lines and the 30 pages at the back of the Return of the King appendices. And there's so much gap between periods of time. For example, we know between the 700 of the Second Age, Celebrimbor is in Lindon, then he goes and finds Eregion. But during that period, what happens? During the period of, okay, we know 1790, late 1700 of the Second Age, Rivendell is formed. Then we meet up with Elrond again in 3100 of the Second Age. During that period, what happens? And I think that is the big problem Amazon have with this, is because a television show isn't a historical textbook. It has to be a fleshed out narrative. And I think we are seeing a prime example here with Galadriel in Numenor. And that is a pretty drastic, I wouldn't say change, because it's not changed something that didn't happen, but it's an inclusion of something that might be twisting the law to the extent, because we know that no elves came to Numenor after that period. But I think Amazon have to, and if people are going into the show with the mindset that it will be 100% faithful and nothing will be big will be changed, they're setting themselves up to be sad either way. But I think changes like that, I can see the problem with it. I can see why I think people are right to be questioning it, at least the minimum. But with stuff like, for example, creating something for Galadriel to do during this period, I don't think it is the end of the world, because Galadriel goes to Numenor, comes back. It doesn't change the law, as Sauron still somehow probably will end up in Numenor or get captured. Say, for example, there's another an alteration, a different universe of this Amazon show. And if, for example, Galadriel never went to Numenor, and it was sent as a letter was sent instead of sending Galadriel as a messenger, Sauron is still going to, in both scenarios, still get captured and go back to Middle-earth. So I don't think it changes the course of the Second Age. I can see the reason why people would be, quite, hey, hang on, that's going too far. And I can really see, for example, if they make some silly or stupid changes, that, for example, bring a character back. I think, David, you mentioned Finrod, like his death. Of course, his death to Sauron is canonically correct, but having that as a shock factor, that does make sense. But then I don't know, killing off a random a character, for example, like Curdan or something like that, I think that is stretching the mark and going a bit too far. So
especially when he shows up at the end of The Return of the King,
that'd be really, really strange. So
it seems like if they're going to make any changes, it's kind of something that's not set in stone in the book. It's more like, well, there's opportunity for variation, or there's kind of like a unknown kind of gray
areas. Like the Blue Wizards are a perfect example of that.
Yeah. Mm. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Bring them in.
I'd love to see more of the Blue Wizards. That'd be great.
Yeah.
That's a question for you, Fellowship. Is that a discussion? Is there any word on that about the Blue Wizards?
Well, nothing I can, nothing that I've can publicly say right now or really heard of in general around the Blue Wizards anyways. I would think it would be a likely involvement because it does make sense. You want, it's a fantasy show, you want to have a few wizards in there. I think the closest thing we did get to that was we released that casting credits that people have on their CVs, and it said mage attendant, and then who is the mage? Could that be, some people said it's the Witch King, could that be, could they be serving the Blue Wizards? And I think that's where it gets quite interesting. So that's the closest link we have had so far. But I know fans are dying to know about the Blue Wizards and their involvement. So yeah, if that something did come forward 100%, said something about it by now.
Damn.
Yeah.
Sorry if I've just put it down. But I don't know everything. That's a positive thing.
No.
Yeah,
no,
of course.
Yeah.
And again, we've signed on initially for 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's... a lot of things are going to be coming out in years to come.
Totally. I think, yeah, if they're not in the first season, they could be in the second or third.
After. Yeah, and also, for example, you know, all of the stories that they use and the characters that they use, well, yeah, characters, fair enough, but the stories that they want to use that are straight out of the book, you know, they're paying a lot of money for all those rights. Maybe the Blue Wizards is an area where they could say, look, we'll pay for the rights to use these characters, but every story we make up is going to be an invented story, so they don't need to pay for rights for that story. So from like Amazon's point of view, maybe that's a nice avenue that they could go down as well. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yep. A wizard is never late, Frodo Baggins. Nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to.
And so what... the next thing I wanted to ask you was, what's happening with the Hobbits, and why is there such controversy with them involved in this upcoming?
We mentioned earlier in the earlier discussion around additions, or will it be breaking law? Will it make fans angry? Will additions like that? And I gave the example. I don't want to contradict myself because I talked about Galadriel and Numenor. That does make sense for that. But Hobbits is really unnecessary for a law or just Tolkien point of view, because Hobbits were one of the biggest things around when, well, The Hobbit, the book itself, when Tolkien published, I think it was in the 50s. I don't know, the probably before that. I think the Lord of the Rings was 50s. So it was probably before that.
I think it was 30s, yeah.
Yeah, something around that time. And I think it would have been such a big thing around then that if Tolkien would have wanted to, he would have expanded on it a lot more. And I just think it's purposeful that they weren't in. Well, not, I know this is the line between, are they not in the Second Age, or are they like something that signifies that they would have been recorded in the history books? I think the earliest recollection of Hobbits was in the Arnor records, which dates them back to the early Third Age, but then it talked about the possibility that they could have migrated. But it is one of those things again which makes sense for Amazon to add Hobbits.
Sure.
Imagine an average viewer going into the watch the Lord of the Rings show, and then they see no Hobbits.
It's making us all crazy, ridiculous.
I think the main problem that I have with it, and I think so many other people do, is that it takes minutes away from other good storytelling, and the Second Age provides the political intrigue of Numenor and the downfall we have there. And then, of course, in Middle-earth, we've got, of course, Sauron's in the east attacking these colonial villages that, of course, are actually Numenorean. Due to Numenorean expansion, they've gone across the coast of Middle-earth, and then you've got all those different points there as well. But it is a necessary change. It's a necessary addition, but not for the fans, but for average viewers. I think that's how you put it in one sentence. I think that's it perfect.
Yeah, I completely agree with you in that perspective and that mindset maybe of the people that are behind the making of the show. But I would basically put the opposite. Well, I'll give you an example of something where maybe the opposite is true in Star Wars, where you have spin-off series like The Mandalorian, or even standalone movies like Rogue One, where you're going to see Star Wars and there's no Jedi or like lightsaber fights and things like that. So maybe that's another area where you go to see the Star Wars original trilogy and it's all about Jedis, lightsabers, these types of things. And then you go to see these other movies that are, you know, and maybe the average, they might have thought the average viewer is going to be upset if they go to see, for example, the movie Rogue One, and there aren't all these Jedis and lightsaber battles happening. And that still managed to work out very, very well. And I don't think people end up being too frustrated with that or anything. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I just think maybe there is a way that it can work without having to force them in.
To add on to that is, I know we should never judge something before it comes up, but if you get, say, for example, someone's put all the storylines for season one down and you're going to go for what's most exciting to most boring, I think the Harford storyline of going and migrating would be pretty down there because, okay, it's nice seeing them traveling as a tribe, but then you've got all this intercontinental politics of Numenor, and then we've got the elves and their Gogla Linden, how they're reacting to the threat in the east, and you've got all this stuff, and then you're following a band of hobbits. So, but of course it could be the most entertaining thing in the world, and I'll probably be proven wrong, but I just think $1 billion show traveling hobbits is like,
and we've already seen 6 movies
six
really, really long movies based on hobbits. I think we're able to come away from that now.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. But then again, they could also just basically have them every now and again for a little bit of comic relief.
Or they might just literally have, like, you probably know more information than we do, but like, well, sorry, you definitely have more information, but you know, maybe it's like a 10-minute section at the end of, maybe it's a mid-credit scene at the end of the first episode. And we just see, like, what is it, Lenny Henry and some other people as hobbits, and they go, that's the last you'll see of us. I don't know.
I would hope so.
Trying to be positive.
I would hope so.
I know we've been talking about the show for a long time and calling it the Lord of the Rings TV show, but is that what it's actually going to be called? Is it going to be called Lord of the Rings on Prime? Or do we know?
I think that Amazon will have to give, I don't think it will be Lord of the Rings on Prime. I think that's an awful a name for it would be, but I doubt it.
Terrible.
Because the Wheel of Time was originally called the Wheel of Time on Prime, even though that does rhyme, so I can all feel that rhyme. Okay,
the Lord of the Rings on streaming things.
On swings.
Yeah. Oh, the Lord of the Rings on swings. I think it would make sense, but I think the question is not what the title would be, but more, is it going to have Lord of the Rings in it? And I think would, again, for the same reasons of hiring Howard Shore, same reasons for aesthetically looking like Peter Jackson's, do you just, is it adding up before adding hobbits? Is it starting to see a trend here? And I think people would, I think I heard something quite interesting that someone said just take out the from the Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings is Sauron. So I think if that's technically a difference, I suppose. But what I would think we'd probably see is something like Lord of the Rings then colon something. That's just my speculation. Yeah. And or you know how Star Wars do it, like a Star Wars story or a Star Wars original, like a Lord of the Rings original and something in the Second Age, something like that.
Yeah,
I think that's another route they could take as well. But I think there will have to definitely be a name change before season one comes out, because I don't think they cannot continue to say on Prime, because you can't say Amazon original, the Lord of the Rings on Prime. It's like so much Amazon stuff there. It's like it'd be an overload.
Amazon, subscribe here. Lord of the Rings Prime. like I think what you said there would be ideal, like Lord of the Rings colon something, kind of the same way Star Wars do it. They have like The Mandalorian, a Star Wars story, or a Solo, a Star Wars story. And then even like Marvel movies now, they don't have to be called Marvel Iron Man 1 or whatever. It's just like Iron Man presented by Marvel or things like that. So maybe they're planning to make it a whole franchise, and you know, this TV is like Sauron's Adventures brought to you by Lord of the Rings. So back to the show itself. I just wanted to ask you about season one. How do you think the story will pan out, or more so, how do you think it'll end? Like what? I know there's so many different things that happen in the Silmarillion that are like big events. So do you think like it'll be the sinking of Numenor or Anatar's reveal as Sauron, or what do you think?
I think this depends on who you want speculation or spoilers, because I think, which one do you want? Because I don't want to start spoiling it for too many people. But
all right, okay, fair enough. But actually, don't have me.
No, I won't. I'll say this enough. I doubt the the downfall of Numenor would be season one or something like that. I think you'd want to leave that off for a later season, just solely due to the fact that what do you do for the other four seasons? I think building up to it as well. So yeah, I think that's too spoilery because it is common sense as well. You wouldn't want that in the first season. Sure. So yeah, I would say, but from what all the leaks are insinuating, it is looking like maybe something around Sauron. And maybe if his is revealed, his, and I don't know if Sauron gets revealed or not. Honestly, don't know. So I think maybe that could be an interesting finale moment, but it'd be interesting to see. Actually, the funny thing is, someone was going to tell me the ending, and I just asked for them to not say it, because I think the problem there is if I know the finale ending a year out, but then I start. But the thing is, I have to hold on to that because I can't release that because there's difference. Because what I've always made sure, what's the difference between revealing leaks and then revealing spoilery stuff? For example, Isildur. You're going to find out in 6 months anyway. He's in the show before you even see anything. For he's going to be in the character release. For example, Galadriel in Numenor. If she was there for about 1 month, then it would make sense. But if she's going to be there for that long in the trailers, etc., it's going to be a big focal point of season one. It does make sense. But if it's like little things like that, what about big things that have actually been invented by Amazon themselves, I wouldn't prefer to release it. So that's why I wouldn't want to know this series ending, because I'll just be holding on to it for a year. Of course. So yeah, I think that's a good division to make sure.
Yeah, no, you're going to want to enjoy the show. I think I was just kind of coming from the perspective where I would, you know, if I was talking to my mate across the road, I'd want to ask him what his thoughts on what the season ending will be. But maybe I shouldn't ask someone who knows a hell of a lot of what's going on. So, yeah, we'll leave that question right there.
But good to know. Good to hear that anyway. And so how then do you think the show will be perceived by diehard fans and versus average TV show watchers? Like, do you expect it to be a genuinely enjoyable show? Imagine you've never seen Lord of the Rings, you don't know anything about it, you come in and this is the first thing you see. Do you think that it could just be a genuinely good watch, or do you think it's just a corporate kind of cash grab and they just know there's money to be made here? So what's your feelings on that?
I think that average viewers are the ones who tune into the corporate cash grabs a lot of the time. Like, for example, the recent Marvel movies, I think Eternals and Shang-Chi, I think I haven't watched either. I've never really liked Marvel, but they do not seem the best. But this appointment the films at the moment, everyone see it is going to be a critical success no matter what. But I think a good way to put into perspective or to see is the Tyrion image and how the reaction was to that. If you knew nothing about Lord of the Rings, then you go see that image. It's going to look incredible. How is it attached onto a mountain? You got these two growing trees in the background. You got these swan ships. It's going to look amazing. But of course, we've had these predispositions set descriptions in our heads for so long. So yeah, that's amazing. But we are seeing it from a sense of that's how we would have maybe imagined it or not imagined did that. Does live up to my expectations? But the thing is, the others don't have expectations. I think it really depends on how faithful you, how much faithfulness you can tolerate. And I think if it is going to be, for example, if you're hating Galadriel and Numenor right now, in a year's time, well, how much are you going to not want to see? Yeah. But I think if Amazon has a step in both camps, I think most Tolkien fans will be able to respect the fact that we understand that you have to make returns on this, you have to make a $1 billion show, but you are still wanting to respect as much as you can. That does make sense. But if it's just obvious, I think that we could start to see a divide between so many average viewers are loving this. Oh my god, what's happening here? We've got this political intrigue happening in Numenor at this time, and then we're saying yes, but isn't there meant to be an Anarion in this period and stuff like that? It's like little things you'll be like nitpicking at. So I think if Amazon is clear that Amazon are not stepping there while dabbling in both sides of wanting it to be a corporate success but also stay true to Tolkien, then I think we will start to see a divide at some point.
I mean, you're never going to appeal to every single fan base. There's always going to be people that, I'm sure there's people that absolutely hate Lord of the Rings, the movies. So you're never going to appeal to everyone, but yeah, I don't know. We were just going to have to wait and see at this point, because no matter what kind of person you speak to, if you're talking to the biggest Tolkien expert in the world, they might have their view. They might actually be quite positive about it. I know Matt from Nerd of the Ring seems to be positive enough, and you know, he would be quite a big fan as well. So I suppose, yeah, we're just gonna have to wait and see. I just wanted to ask you one last thing. If so, this episode is probably going to air in maybe 2 or 3 weeks, so the start of December or the end of November. So from this time right now, if you haven't read any of the Silmarillion, should you go and read that before this show? Or like, would you advise reading the Silmarillion before watching this TV show? Or do you think an average fan should just wait for it to come out and be surprised by everything?
Well, I think an interesting thing, you mentioned Matt there a few minutes ago, put a few of his videos on the first stage if you really want to. Because it depends on if the average person would want to go to the Caliber, because we've all read it here at the start, you 4 or 5 chapters in. Why is okay, we've got Fingolfin, and then we've got Finarfin. Okay, but why this getting mixed up? And then also find that, and I'm thinking I don't want, it'd be interesting to see. I think a good way to do it, say, read these specific chapters of the Silmarillion, so you don't have to go to the musical that I know all the way back to there and seeing the creation.
I love that.
I love God basically seeing divine intervention into the world. I don't think that doesn't really prepare you for the Amazon show where we're going to be seeing battles and stuff like that. So I think the Excalibur, that bit of the Silmarillion, I think would be, if you want to read that, maybe. Of course, it does seem like we are seeing Finrod, so if you want to go earlier on, but not too much into the Quenta Silmarillion, because I think you'll get lost in there, even for an average viewer. But I would say a good place to start would be The Return of the King of Pendices.
Okay. And again, I'm sure that Amazon are making this show for the average viewer in mind, being a person who maybe has not read the Silmarillion, because if you're only basing this on people who have read the Silmarillion, you're going to be struggling to make back your billion dollars that you've put into the show.
Thanks for those 20 fans.
I imagine that you, and for me personally, I'm the kind of person that if there's a movie coming out that I know I want to go and see, I do my best to avoid all trailers before I go to that movie. I like to go in and get a completely fresh, fresh view of the movie. And also, I just find that nowadays, in the last few years, very often trailers can give away so much of the movie. And
I think that is actually a really good point. And I think that is why stuff that we're doing now is being fine and just, you know, being accepted by everyone. And because, if this was 20 years ago, this Amazon show was 20 years ago, we wouldn't be able to get away with saying, for example, Galadriel is a Numenor. But then now we're learning that, of course, marketing's changed since then, and it's going to be in the press things that she's going to be there. You're going to see in the second trailer that she's going to be on a boat. Of course, you're on a boat. Where else are you going to go to? Stuff like that. It's going to be your three months, unless you go to the Undying Lands. But of course, that is impossible because she vowed never to go there until, you know, I think the viewers know that anyways. But I think trailers do give away so much. And I think that's why having leaks like be able to reveal, it's not different from just watching the trailer anyways, but luckily...
I feel like they'll all be shown in a trailer anyways. Like, probably will get a sealed or name drop.
Oh, not even that, a character confirmation, because I think you will find out at some point. We're not going to... I know I'm sort of being secretive, but we're not going to go into season one not knowing who any of the cast are.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, I don't know. Dave, do you have any other questions you want to ask?
No, I don't think so. I think that's pretty well covered. I think we've asked everything we wanted to ask, and maybe a little more as well. We got some extra nuggets of information, which was nice.
Yeah, I think you were giving us some good stuff there, and I think that caused me and Dave to kind of invent some questions.
Oh, I hope I didn't give it too much away, but
No. It was brilliant. So I think we'll probably wrap up there. But just before we do, obviously, I'll Just so for our listeners, where can they find you, Fellowship?
So if you want to hear the latest news concisely, you can find us on Twitter, Fans Fellowship. But our primary source of content is YouTube channel Fellowship of Fans. You can find that. And we've got also other places like Instagram page, but also the Discord r/LordOfTheRings on Prime. But thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on to the show, and thank you for educating us on all of these things. And Dave and I, we are just dying for the show to come out.
Oh, sure. Totally.
We hope to God it's good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, it'd be interesting to see, like, if you do this to, like, someone else, like, in a year's time, then around this Amazon show, because it would have been, we would probably be around episode 6 by now this time next year, seeing how the reaction would be to it.
Well,
so,
we'll have to have you back on the show then at some point, and to get the reaction.
Totally.
So thank you so much.
Perfect.
And, but for today, we'll have to bid you farewell.
Thank you. Yeah, this was so much fun. Thanks for having me
on.
Yeah, thanks. It was great to have you on. It's cool to actually hear the voice in person. Yeah. Whenever I hear your voice, I just get like transported into Lord of the Rings Amazon show mode.
Cool.
It is over.
Well, that's all we have time for on this week's episode of the Council of Elrond. It was great to have Fellowship of the Fans on, as we're really looking forward to Amazon's Lord of the Rings TV show, and he is truly the dawn of breaking news and stories revolving around it. What are you guys most excited for in this show? Do you think it will be good or a corporate cash grab? Please let us know by getting in touch with us. Our social media links are in the podcast info section. Also, thank you so much if you are one of our Buy Me a Coffee members. And if you'd like to become one by sponsoring us the price of a cup of coffee, you can check our link below or visit buymeacoffee.com/themelonheads. Remember, that's melon with two L's. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please subscribe and leave a review if you have. But for now, be well, Namarie, and God bless.